Hey, everybody, it's Mark. Welcome or welcome back to the New Spring Church Podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free New Spring app where you can access all of our recent message content. Actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at New Spring. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, this message, this is the next to the last message of the series. It's going to be a lot like last week's, at least in one respect. And that is, I'm not going to talk too much about flying for the same two reasons that I gave you last week. Number one, you'll get the parallel very quickly. And then number two, I need all my time today to talk about the applications. In fact, if what I'm going to talk about today was the topic for every one of my messages in 2024, I would still leave a lot on the table. And so you can imagine, once you hear the topic, how challenging it's going to be for me to get into a subject today with just about 30 minutes of time. So here's the thing, and I just want to make this very clear to all of us here today. This subject is so big and so diverse, we need the Holy Spirit to come and tailor the message individually for all of our lives. One of the things that I always get a big kick out of is I talk to people after the service, and people will talk to me, and they'll tell me what God did in their lives in the message. And, you know, it'll be like, wow, that message was just about one thing for me. The only thing is, I'll hear about 10 different people say 10 different things. Sometimes they'll tell me that something changed their life in the message I didn't even preach. So I know that God comes along and he takes a message. And we come from all different walks of life. We come from all different situations. We have all kinds of different problems. And I always remember this, that the main preacher is the Holy Spirit of God. God is going to take his word. He's going to tailor it to your life. I want to talk today about flying in bad weather, or really, in real terms, how to keep flying when life turns ugly. So we're going to do something right now. We're going to stop and pray, because this subject is so big, so diverse, we need the Holy Spirit to come and tailor the message to our individual circumstances. I'm going to talk today about things that could sound like a contradiction. For instance, I'm going to talk about how to divert and avoid storms, how to avoid trouble in your life. And then I'm going to turn right back around and talk about when you can't avoid trouble. So, you know, it could be that you're sitting here listening and scratching your head saying, what's Mark saying? And for that purpose and for that reason, I want us to do something. I know you stood up during worship, but I'm going to ask you, if you can, to stand with me right now, because we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and make this message what we need it to be individually. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, we come to you today. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Holy Spirit, we plead that you would come in great power today and speak to every one of us, starting with me. May we hear what we need to hear today. And when we walk out of here, may we walk out saying, whether or not I heard from Mark, I heard from God. And we want that, Lord. We crave that. We need that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's start here. We want to avoid bad weather when possible. We want to avoid trouble as much as we can. You know, people who fly a lot in our area know that weather is a common subject. Our weather is extreme, and change comes at us fast. I've heard for many years, if you don't like the weather in Wichita, just wait a little while. If it's frigid cold today, it'll be hot tomorrow. The only thing that'll be consistent is it'll be windy. We know that. In fact, that's one thing I've learned. In the winter, if you get warm weather, you have to pay for it with wind. That's just one of the Kansas axioms. But I've flown to DFW countless times. And sometimes, or oftentimes, I'm speaking in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or somewhere there. And then oftentimes, it's a hub for me to fly somewhere else. So I know that when I fly to DFW, it should take around an hour. But many times, I've heard the pilots say, there's weather between us and Dallas, so we're going to be flying around it. Whenever I hear that, I always have mixed feelings. I'm frustrated, first of all, that the flight's going to take longer than I want it to take. My ADD doesn't handle that very well. And so that's like I said, I have mixed feelings. I just don't like waiting. I remember years ago, not long after 9/11, we were on a late night flight back to Wichita from Dallas. And Mary Alice got a little upset with me over something I did. She's really kind to me all the time, but she kind of got upset with me that night. And here's what it was about. We were in the air for a lot longer than I thought we should have been. About an hour and a half after I thought we should have landed, I looked out my window and I saw a city, and I thought, at last, But after we flew over the city for a little while, I realized it wasn't Wichita. So I wanted to know where we were. Now, I was sitting in the back of the plane with Mary Alice, and I got up to go to the cockpit to talk to the flight attendant. I've told you guys, I have no pastels in my personality. I wanted to know where we were. And I just walk fast. It's just how I am. I just walk really fast. And I whip my glasses off, and I put them behind me because the aisle's narrow, so I'm just walking fast up the aisle holding something behind me, my glasses. Don't get ahead of me now. So I walked up there to the flight attendant who was right behind the cockpit, and I asked her, "Where are we?" And she said, "I don't know. Let me ask the pilot." So she got on the phone and said, "We have a passenger back here who wants to know where we are." And I guess the pilot was in a joking mood because he said, "I don't know. Ask the passenger if he has any guesses." Well, yeah, I thought it was funny, too. I thought that was the funniest thing, and I couldn't wait to tell Mary Alice about what happened. But when I got back, she was frowning. She was very unhappy with me. And like I said, it was right after 9/11, and it seems that the passengers around her had watched me walk fast up the aisle to the cockpit with something behind my back. They thought it was a weapon, and all the passengers around her were talking about how to take me down. Well, I get mixed emotions, mixed feelings when the pilot says we're going to be up here a little bit longer. So on one hand, I don't like to be in the air for longer, but on the other hand, I don't like to fly in a storm. So let's just start here. Just as pilots avoid bad weather, we should avoid trouble when it's possible. You know, I got to tell you, I hope I'm always a good boss. And I always try to understand when mistakes happen and things go wrong, that's life. That's just how it happens. And I hope I'm always kind and gracious in that kind of situation. But I got to tell you something. Whether I reflect it or not as a boss, one of the things that really gets under my skin is when I have a problem I don't need to have. In other words, when someone just does something or fails to do something because they're not paying attention, should have known better, I got to tell you something. That's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, because I just know there's certain trouble that I've got to have. That's life. But I hate to have trouble I don't need to have. I shouldn't have had. And so for all of us in our lives, we're all flyers. We're all pilots. We're navigating life. Let's just start with the fact that we should avoid every bit of trouble that we possibly can. Last week, I talked about relationships in a message called Traffic. And a lot of the trouble that we could avoid is relationship trouble. I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, and this is a verse I think about a lot. The Bible says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What's the goal? Living at peace with everybody. Now, the Bible does put a couple of qualifiers in there. Number one, as much as possible, because it's not always possible to be at peace with people. And then notice the second qualifier, it is as much as under your control. There are things that aren't under our control, and that's life. But just hear again what the Bible says. As much as possible, and as much as is under our control, we are to live at peace with everyone. I love the little simple statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, where the Bible says, God has called us to live in peace. That just that little simple statement, it just shapes so much of my thinking in interpersonal relationships. In fact, I memorized everything in the King James. It's shorter. It just says, God has called us to peace. God has called us to peace. We need to hear that today. Now, it's true. We're going to have to fly in bad weather, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But as you've already heard me say several times, I don't want trouble I don't have to have. Now, one more time, when it comes to relationships, we can avoid a whole lot of trouble if we'll just utilize what we learned last week. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 3, the Bible says avoiding, that's our word, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. And boy, do we need the second part of this verse in the social media age. Only fools insist on quarreling. Well, you can work this like an algebraic equation. Who insist on quarreling? Fools. What do? Fools insist on quarreling. That's what the Bible says. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, don't use your anger, and anger is usually the issue, don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, and don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Now, listen. Notice that the Bible doesn't say you don't have a reason to be angry. It indicates that you probably do. It indicates that anger may be your first emotion. But the Bible says don't stay angry. Now, here's the deal. If you and I go to bed angry, we need to just hear the word of God. We have just put an invisible parking place with a sign in front of our house that says, "Devil, park here." That's a fact. The Bible, I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Because if I say, and you're like, "Well, I have a reason to be," well, the Bible assumes that. "Well, he shouldn't." Yeah, I know. "Well, she shouldn't have said." Yeah, I know. I mean, that's not the point. The point is staying angry. And that I can control. Because the Bible says, if I stay angry, I give Satan a wide open avenue to work in our lives. Okay, here's the thing. If we're talking about flying into bad weather that we don't have to fly in, let's be blunt about what we're talking about. There's a word that we're really looking for when we talk about flying right into trouble that we don't have to have. What is that word? The word is stubbornness. Who do you know right now who keeps on having trouble on top of trouble, unnecessary trouble, and you ask the question, when will they learn? Because it's so obvious to you. And this person just keeps doing stupid stuff after stupid stuff after stupid stuff, and they suffer for it, and we want to know, when are they going to figure this out? Well, you know that when you're dealing with that, you're dealing with a stubborn person. And God was talking about these kind of people one day to his preacher, Jeremiah. And he was saying, "Jeremiah," you can read this, and I'm going to read Jeremiah 18:12 to you, but if you go back and read the verses leading up to that, God was, I know God understood, but if on human terms, it's almost like God was saying to Jeremiah, "I don't understand their conduct. I want to help them. I would love to turn things around and help them, but the people said," and here's what I'm going to read the verse to you, Jeremiah 18:12, "the people would say to God, 'Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly," there's a word, "following our own desires.'" Now, pilots have a word for this, and you heard Stacy use it. It's kind of a made-up word, but it's a good word. The word is get there-itis. In fact, sometimes when the reasons for a crash are being given, get there-itis is one of the reasons. Now, I'm going to give this to you out of an aviation dictionary. Get there-itis means the determination, watch these words, the determination of a pilot to reach a destination even when conditions for flying are very dangerous. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us have had get there-itis? We wanted something so badly that we ignored the bad weather and flew right into trouble. In Proverbs chapter 14, the book of wisdom, the Bible says the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Now, I need to go into something else, but we get the point. You just simply avoid trouble if you can. Even if you have to dent your pride, and that's usually what the cost is. But avoid trouble when you can. Now, I'm going to be straight with you. It's going to feel like I flipped the script. Because I'm going to go to the number two point, and you're going to like, "Well, Mark, that sounds like a contradiction of what you've been talking about." But here's the second point. Sometimes trouble can't be avoided. Sometimes bad weather can't be avoided. Sometimes there's just bad weather. There's trouble between you and your destination. How do you keep flying when the skies of life turn ugly? Now, I know that many of you watch us outside the Wichita area, watch us all over the United States, watch us all around the world. We're on television, 200 countries around the world. So I know that a lot of you might not know something about Wichita that we Wichitans know. And that is, we build a whole bunch of airplanes in this city. We have all different kinds of aircraft companies in Wichita. At one time, Cessna, Beechcraft, Boeing, Learjet, we're all here along with a lot of companies that are suppliers for the big companies. And there have been some changes, and there have been some selling of companies, but we still build a lot of airplanes here. Now, many of you work for these companies, and I know because I've talked to you through the years, and you could stand up here and make this point far better, far more sophisticated than I can make it. But here's what I've been told through the years. Mark, these planes are designed, engineered, and built to withstand bad weather. In fact, a whole lot of the construction of these aircraft have to do with withstanding storms, bad weather. You know, I've long loved a quote from President Andrew Jackson. His quote that he's known for more than any other was, "I was born for the storm." Can I say this to you? If you've trusted your life to Jesus Christ, if you're God's daughter, if you're God's son, the Holy Spirit of God has come into your life to re-engineer you on a spiritual plane. If you have trusted your life to Jesus on the word of God today, I can tell you that you were built for the storm. You were built to withstand weather that you can't dream of yet. And when you get through it, you're going to be able to turn around and say, I don't know how I made it through. It is because you were built for the storm. Now, none of us likes turbulence, but you were designed, engineered, and built for bad weather. I'm going to read a verse to you in just a moment out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But you know, I'm going to go back to something that Paul said, I think like five verses earlier. He was talking about how difficult his life and his ministry were and how challenging and how beyond his scope and skill level it was. And he asks what feels like a rhetorical question. He asks, who's confident for all this? And he just lets it hang, I could say, as though it's rhetorical. But about five or six verses later, he gives us this verse. And let's look at it. The Bible says, not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. Verse 6, he has made, read that built, read that engineered, read that designed. He has made us competent. That is why when we get over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we find that verse that we love so much. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we were built for the storm. So when we can't avoid bad weather, when we can't avoid trouble, we need to remember that we were built for it. But how do you keep flying when life turns ugly? Okay, I've got one more point and we'll be finished today. There's a caveat to that. This point has a list of a lot of points. Now, when I was working on the message this week and I kind of knew the length of the service, I thought to myself, I'm going to have to give these points in rapid fire, and they all deserve probably a series within themselves. But I'm looking at the clock and I only have about 12 minutes left. So be patient with me. I'm just going to have to give these to you very quickly. Now, here we go. Before I give you point three, remember our series, it's Flying by Instruments. And what this is about, remember, we said there are pilots who are instrument rated. So they know they can't trust their feelings. They can't because of spatial disorientation and other things. And then oftentimes they're in weather and they look out their windshield and they can't see anything. How do you keep flying? Well, they know to trust their instruments because what's in those instruments, attitude, altitude, airspeed, what's in those instruments is superior information to what they feel and what they see. And we said that's the definition of faith. Faith is taking God at his word. How do I know how to live when I can't see my way forward? How do I know how to live when my feelings are all screwed up? How do I know how to make decisions? Well, I take the word of God and I keep flying. I can't see the future, but I can see God's promises. I can see God's instructions. So here we go. Point three. Trust your instruments when you can't see out your windshield. When you have to fly in bad weather, when you got trouble, whether it's marriage trouble or emotional difficulties or physical problems or financial difficulties. I mean, that's the reason why I had you pray. I didn't know what kind of things you're dealing with. Trust your instruments when you can't see out your windshield. Now we're going to have to go, as I said, really fast. Pilots, especially commercial pilots, have a book that they refer to when stuff gets crazy. And it's known by its initials, the QRH, the Quick Reference Handbook. Now, here's the definition of the Quick Reference Handbook. In other words, it contains all the procedures applicable for, watch these two words, abnormal and emergency situations in an easy-to-use format. Time is of the essence. You got a problem in the cockpit. So you get the QRH out, and you go through the list of things that you need in, what was it, abnormal? An emergency? I mean, I don't know, who am I talking to here today? You're in abnormal circumstances. You're 50 years old. And you would like to know what to do here, but you've never seen this before. Or emergency. There's not a whole lot of time. I mean, this is just something that comes out of nowhere. Remember we talked about the Bloom effect last week? So here's the QRH, and I'm going to give you, if I have time, about five or six things here. And by the way, if you want to just make some notes on this, or you can watch it later, you might even want to build your own QRH, like John Maxwell says. You might want to laminate this and keep it with you. Number one, call the tower. Call for help. When you're in abnormal circumstances, when you're in emergency circumstances, everything within you cries out to find something inside of you to make something happen. And that's where our feelings get in the way, and before long, we give ourselves all kinds of trouble because we feel the pressure to solve it ourselves. Now, the first thing that you and I need to do when life comes with abnormal or emergency circumstances is take the time to call for help. You know what? It doesn't take a whole lot of time to call for help. Think about Peter when he was sinking under the water after he asked Jesus to let him walk on the water. He didn't start a long prayer. You know, he didn't pray like some of the guys used to pray when I was a kid growing up in church. You know, oh, thou God. I mean, you know, it sounded like you could hear pipe organ music and see stained glass. There's nothing wrong with that, I guess. Peter's prayer was real simple. Help! Sometimes we need to pray, help! Just call the tower. Psalm 50, verse 15 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God says, call on me when you are in trouble. Now, hear that one more time. Let me just stop there for a moment. Because there's some people who tell me, well, you know what, I don't pray all the time, and I don't know when I get in trouble. I don't want to be one of those people who just call God when I get in trouble. Well, you shouldn't be, but I tell you what, when you get in trouble, call him. I mean, after all, you can't go back and re-pray all those weeks and months and years that you should have been praying. Okay, then just go say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I need help today. God says, call on me when you are in trouble. Aren't you glad God didn't say, don't call me when you get in trouble? Some of us heard a parent say that, right? Well, if you're not going to listen to me, don't call me. Man, what an awesome God. No wonder we worshiped him today. God says, call on me when you're in trouble. Praise God for that. Now, there are three parts to this little verse that I love so much. God says, call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. How many times did we call on God, and he rescued us, but we didn't give him glory? You remember the story about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? And only one of them came back to thank God. You know what? Some of us might want to do some like residual gratitude. Oh God, 10 years ago, I thought I was going down. I thought I was dying. Or I thought my marriage was going to break up. Oh God, 10 years ago, I didn't know if I was going to have money to pay my bills. But looking back, you know what? You got me out of that. I'm sorry I'm 10 years late, but I'm going to give you glory today. It's not too late. Do we hear that? I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If all you get out of the message is just Psalm 50:15, it was worth coming today. Call on me when you get in trouble, and I will rescue you, and then you will give me glory. And see, that just keeps going. That's how life is meant to work, because we're going to keep getting into trouble. Somebody will say, Mark, that won't work for me. That works for all the people sitting around me, but it doesn't work for me because, see, Mark, I caused the storm. See, I'm the one who caused the bad weather. I'm the one who caused the divorce. I'm the one who caused myself to get fired. Listen to me. Even if you caused the storm, if you're in trouble in the cockpit, do this. It's number one on the QRH, and it will work. Let me read a verse to you. Because somebody's like, well, Mark, you know, you're just blowing sunshine at us today. I just don't think God does that. Listen to me. I want you to hear a verse. While in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord his God and sincerely humbled himself before God. And when he prayed, the Lord listened to him and was moved by his request. Well, okay, Mark, somebody in the Bible was in trouble and prayed and repented, and God, well, you know who Manasseh was? Manasseh was the wickedest king that Judah ever had. Do you want to know what he did? He burned one of his sons alive as a worship to a pagan god. He led Judah into idolatry. And God said he was the wickedest king Judah had. And that's a lot of competition for that. And yet, let's read the verse again. When in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord his God and sincerely humbled himself before God. And I love the time word here. And when he prayed, the Lord listened to him and was moved by his request. Now listen to me. The reason why I go to Manasseh is if God heard him, he'll hear you. If you're sincere and you repent and you'll be broken before God and get real with God, then no matter, even if you cause the storm, the Lord will listen to you. Number one, call the tower. Call the tower. It'll work. Number two, remember that you're not alone in the cockpit. What happens when we get into deep trouble? It's a real quick trip from trouble to despair. Despair gives up. I mean, I've talked to people before who are having trouble with their marriage, and I'm not talking about abuse, or I'm not talking about infidelity. I'm just talking about just trouble. And I've had people come into my office back in the days when I used to counsel, Mark, I can't go another day. And I know what I hear. They're despairing. And there are people in other kinds of trouble today, and they're just like, I don't think I can go forward. I just don't see my way forward here. Now here, listen to me. There is a reason why we despair. And the reason why we despair is we feel alone. Alone. Now I know every time a man or woman came into my office and said, I don't think I can go another day, what they felt like in their house, they felt like they were alone. And it's like, I've just looked at my resources. I've looked at my emotional bandwidth. And I've looked at what I'm capable of doing. And you know what? I just don't think I can go on anymore. The reason we do that is we feel alone. And Satan will tell you that you're alone. And he'll tell you that nobody knows and nobody cares. And you're out there on an island. And it may be that you're on an island of doubt, but you hear me, you are surrounded by a sea of grace. You are not alone in the cockpit. When trouble comes, I love Isaiah 41 verse 10. God says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. Now notice God says three things here. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up by my victorious right hand. Sometimes I think we read the Bible and it's kind of like, well, God is saying the same thing kind of three different poetic ways. No. He's not. Holy Spirit never wastes words. God says, I will strengthen you. You know what that's about? That's about just stuff you can do. It's within your power. You don't need to ask anybody else. Other than just ask God for strength. And God says, I'll strengthen you. I'm going to infuse you with the strength to do this. But you know what it's like? Because sometimes you use all the strength that God gives you, and it's not enough. And then at that point, God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to come along here, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold up what you can't hold up, and together, you and me, we're going to pick up this boulder. But then there are times when we get to the place where we're so broken that it's like we've done everything we know how to do. And even if God steps in and helps us, it's still not enough because we're just lying there on the ground. And God says, when you get to that place, I'll just come and I'll pick you up and I'll just carry you. Hear me today, New Spring. When trouble comes and you're flying in bad weather, you're not alone in the cockpit. Call the tower. Number two, you're not alone. Now, before I go to number three, we're on the QRH right now. I want to show you the verse before I give you the next point. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, I got to tell you something. When I get into trouble because of my anxiety disorder, I promise you, I can keep myself busy worrying. But here's the thing. You can't worry and fly the plane. Let God handle the worrying because you're too busy flying the plane. Because God's helped, he's promised he's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to carry you if you can't go forward. So just get up and go to work. Just get up, get dressed, love your wife, love your husband. Keep raising your kids. Just keep doing what you do. Let God handle the worrying. You're too busy flying the plane. Okay, QRH. Give you another verse here before we go to number four. James 1 verse 2, the Bible says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, I'm always excited when I get on an airplane and I look and I see that pilot up there. And that pilot's got some gray hair, or that pilot I can tell has been flying for a long time. I get up there, and not that Stacy's got gray hair, but I just know he's done an awful lot of flying. And if Stacy's a pilot, I'm feeling pretty good on that plane. You know why? Because he's seen pretty much everything. He's been through bad weather before. See, God doesn't just want to get you through the bad weather. He's building a better pilot. And I wish we understood that sometimes, because what happens is when we go through difficulties and trouble and God brings us through, the next time we see trouble, it's like, well, I've been here before. I must finish. Number 5 on the QRH, when trouble comes and you're flying in bad weather, I know this is going to sound simplistic, keep flying. Just keep flying. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. In other words, give it everything you've got. Keep flying. God will get you through. I don't have time to tell the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Back in the late 90s, I was doing a preaching tour through the Caribbean. Now, I'm always suspicious of any preacher who's doing a preaching tour through the Caribbean in January. But this is July. This is a ministry trip. And we weren't in any island very long. We were just there long enough to preach and meet the missionaries and so on and so forth. But we've been flying around. And I remember we were leaving St. Thomas and headed for Mayaguez, Puerto Rico. And, you know, there are different levels of aircraft. There's new airplanes, and then there's used airplanes, and then there's old airplanes, and then there's missionary aircraft. We were in an old Piper, twin engine, six seats, and I'm sitting in the back. And I looked at up there in the cockpit, and there was like instrumentation that was not, Piper didn't put it in when they were building the airplane. Let's just say this. It had been just sort of jerry-rigged in there. And like there were wires hanging down. And I was a little nervous about that, but we'd flown quite a bit in there, and we'd been through some choppy flights. But I remember as we were leaving St. Thomas, there was this huge thunderhead right up ahead of us, and a pilot was trying to get on top of it, and I could hear those engines strain. He was climbing. And I'll never forget when I realized he wasn't going to get on top of it. We were going to go right into it. Now, I've been on flights where I've been tossed around a little bit, but I've never been in anything like that in my life. I mean, we got in there, I mean, it just started throwing us around. I mean, sometimes we'd drop 100 feet, and then it was awful. We were in a terrible storm. And I watched the pilot, and, you know, he was accustomed to flying that old plane. And there would be times when he'd be working with the cockpit instruments. He'd be working with the controls. But I never will forget, we got into the worst part of it where it was extreme. And I looked at the pilot, and even though he had his belt on, the force of the turbulence was throwing him up against the top of the airplane. And I looked at him at one point, and I realized he really wasn't flying the aircraft anymore. He was just holding on to the wheel. And in my lifetime, since that time, I've been in situations that were really difficult, and I realized I don't know if I'm doing anything creative or not. I don't even know if I'm just holding on to the wheel. Number 5, just keep flying. Because number 6, a safe landing is in your future. You know, if I was a pilot, I think I'd have this verse just somewhere in the airplane. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Lord will always keep me from being harmed by evil, and he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Praise him forever and ever. How about that for a verse? You're going to get there. You know what? You may go through some difficult times, but after all, our safe landing is not necessarily a perfect life in this life. Our safe landing is landing in heaven, where we're going to be forever and forever and forever. And Almighty God has promised us that we're going to land safely. I mean, you know what? You could just say, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get there. I'm God's daughter. I'm God's son. I'm going to make it okay. I've got my QRH right here. I know that when I get in trouble, I'm going to call on the tower. I'm not all by myself. God is building a better pilot. I'm going to keep flying. I don't know how I'm going to keep flying, but I'm going to keep flying. And praise God, God's going to bring me into a safe landing. That's what you do when you're in trouble. That's how to fly in bad weather. Let's pray. If you're here today and you just say, Mark, or watching online, watching on television, Mark, I'm just not really sure that I have God in my cockpit. Maybe it's, you say I'm religious, but my religion hadn't taken me anywhere. And you might just say, Mark, I'm not religious. And hey, it's not about religion. I hope you feel in this message it's about a relationship, a personal relationship between God and you. And the Bible tells us that, sure, none of us on our own can get into heaven by our lives or our record. But God loved us anyway. And he gave his son Jesus, who died on the cross as a payment for everything we've ever done wrong. His blood was a currency that paid for all our sin, past, present, future. And then he proved he was God in flesh by rising from the grave. And he's in heaven today, and he has been anointed by God as our Savior. And if you want to have that relationship with God, it is through Jesus. In other words, it's through what he did for you and who he is. It's not your record, it's his record. And if you want to know for sure that God is in your life and that you've been forgiven and that God is going to land you safely in heaven forever, it's just a simple matter of receiving and accepting a gift, the gift of eternal life and forgiveness. And how do you receive a gift? You just reach out and accept it. Many people in the Bible prayed to receive it. Not magic words. I mean, one guy prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Another guy prayed, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. The jailer just said, what must I do to be saved? But I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and if you want to pray it with me, you can. And here we go. It's a simple prayer. I'll pray, put little breaks in between each sentence, and you can decide if you want to say these words to God. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray in your heart if you'd like. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm broken and I can't fix myself, but I believe you love me very much. I believe Jesus died to pay for my sins, and I believe he arose from the grave. And since Jesus is alive, I want him to be my Savior. I receive him as my King. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody could say, Mark, I just prayed with you. I don't know what happened. But if you meant it from your heart, you know that God heard your prayer. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to give you a gift. And whether you're watching online or on television, or if you're here in any of our auditoriums, I have a gift I want to give you. It's got a New Spring Bible, just like I preach from, and a little book I wrote that will answer a lot of questions called My New Walk with God, some other cool stuff. It's free, no strings attached. If you want it, just text the word PRAYED, P-R-A-Y-E-D, to 97,000. If you're watching online or television, follow the steps. We'll mail it to you. But if you're here at New Spring today, you don't have to wait. Just text PRAY to 97,000. Go back to any info center. You'll recognize it by the blue and white colors. And just say, I pray with Mark. No hassle. They'll just give this to you. You can take it home with you today. Hey, we got one more message in this series next week. I'm going to miss this series when it's over. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in Wichita, the surrounding area, we'd love for you to engage with us in one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our incredible kids and student environments, visit us at newspring.org. One more time, newspring.org.